We are now live.
Oh, great. Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. Welcome to the Lane Transit District Board of Directors regular meeting. My name is Carl Yeh. I'm the president of the LTD Board of Directors. Today's August 19th, 2020. It's about 5:30 p.m. and this will do a roll call. So Joshua Scove.
Here.
I don't think I saw Don Norton, but just in case, Don Norton. Caitlin Vargas.
Here.
Stephen Yet. Not here yet. And Emily Secord.
I'm here.
Great. So thank you very much for thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Sorry, we just had a work session earlier, so we've been talking and working a lot. And I just want to thank board members, actually, for participating in that. That work session was about setting our agenda and future goals and areas that we want to pursue and push forward on behalf of LTD. And we got through pretty much the rest of this year. And I think a lot of them will have impacts on the coming year as well. And I do want to thank the board for their hard work on that. Next, I want to report with some sadness that, or a lot of sadness, that our fellow board member, Kate Reed, has resigned from the board as she is moving out of the state. Kate, on behalf of myself and the board, we want to thank you for your dedicated service to LTD, as well as your work for the Eugene Springfield community. And we really want to wish you good luck on your new adventure. And we will be having an election for a VP to serve out the remainder of Kate's term, because Kate was also our vice president of the board, and we'll be doing that a little bit later in this meeting. AJ, as the general manager, do you have some announcements or messages for us?
I do not.
Okay, thank you for that. And next, do we have any announcements and additions to the agenda? Oh, yes. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I know we have a bunch of really big topics tonight, and I was just going to see if people maybe didn't need to hear the presentation associated with the fiscal year 2019-2020 audit plan. Having gone through the presentation that's in the board packet, it seems really self-explanatory to me, and I know we will have budget discussions later. If people want it, I get it, but I was just going to say, if people want to skip it, I would suggest that would leave more room for things.
Oh, AJ, looks like you want to say something, just in case.
If the board concurs, that's fine with us. Our obligation is just to bring this before the board. You don't have to give a verbal presentation. It will be right. Very similar to what you see in your board packet.
Excellent. Thanks for that suggestion, Josh, and for and your comment, AJ. When we get there, we'll discuss it, and we'll see where we sit on it.
And Carl, just want to say I joined late. Sorry.
Oh, no. Thank you for announcing that, Stephen. So Stephen Yet has joined us too. So, okay. Thanks. Any other additions or announcements? Great. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move forward to the board calendar. AJ, do you have any board calendar announcements for us?
Nothing from the regular meeting. I know today you guys will be discussing future board meeting schedules, so that will drive some of the board calendar items.
That's true. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, AJ. So next, I'm very excited to bring back the Employee of the Month. I have to tell you, this will be interesting because we actually didn't even practice this, so I don't know how it's going to work out in a virtual sense. And also, it is a little weird because it is such a personal experience, I think, for the board and myself, because we really like to, it's one of our chances to interact directly with one of the employees of LTD. And it's such an honor to be able to do it, especially in person. But we're going to give it a shot anyway. So for the July Employee of the Month, I believe we have Van Snyder, who will be making the presentation to us. Or is it someone else?
Van Snyder is on the line to present the Employee of the Month. Van, it looks like he may not have audio connection yet. I'm going to go ahead and pull Jake over. Give me just one second.
Cool.
Okay, Jake, you are good to speak. If you don't mind stepping in, it looks like there's some audio challenges for Van.
Camille, can you please bring up the Employee of the Month information so that Jake could have a reference? Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So the Employee of the Month was Mike Johnson. And basically, Mike was selected because of his customer service involved in an incident where a customer got off the bus at Glenwood Station, and they were walking to a hotel, and this particular customer was really struggling, not able to actually walk really well, and Mike recognized that and knew that they had a long ways to go. So Mike took it upon himself to call in to operations and see if we could get somebody to help transport this person to the hotel. And so the person that transported him actually was the person that another operator that nominated Mike, because he realized how much this individual was struggling to get to the his destination. So it's just another example of, you know, what the operators do to go above and beyond and provide customer service to the community when they see somebody in need. And that's kind of what Mike does day in, day out. He's just one of those employees that's always there and willing to go the extra mile when it comes to providing that customer service. So I didn't plan to do this, but evidently their stuff isn't working. But I'd like to congratulate Mike on, you know, the 12 years of excellent customer service and being nominated as the Employee of the Month. I think you're muted, Carl.
Indeed I am. Thanks, Jake. I was saying, thank you, Jake, for that summary. It was what I had said, and I was wondering if Mike Johnson was on the line, and if it takes some time, I could fill the space with a few words of compliments if he's not ready yet. Oh, it looks like we have Van on. Van, did you have some more to add? Or do you have Mike with you?
I think they're still having some audio challenges, and I believe Mike is with Van.
Oh, excellent. Well, while their audio is connecting, I just wanted to say it was really, really nice to see, given how challenging the operator experience must be right now under COVID, that there's still these wonderful acts of compassion. And Mike, hopefully you can hear me. I just want to compliment you and thank you so much for what you're doing, and on top of what is already a challenging job. I really appreciate that. I think the rest of the board appreciates that as well. It may be that I don't even see their microphone symbol, so I'm wondering if it may just not be working out right now. We'll give it another minute, of course, but Camille, if you think it's not a correctable issue, we can.
I think it's okay to go ahead and continue on through the agenda.
Well, Mike, if you can hear me, thank you again. And I want to say that we would love to give you an opportunity to speak, because we really love hearing from operators and other employees. So if it doesn't work out this time, we would love to invite you back at a future time to be able to talk, to make a few comments. So, one other thing I would do in person is I'd give you something to hang on your wall, something to read in the form of a letter, something to spend, and something to wear, a little pin that you can pin on yourself. So these are things that HR will coordinate with you to get those to you. So I'm not able to hand them to you myself, but on behalf of the board, please think of us giving it to you in this way. So thank you. Congratulations on being our July Employee of the Month. Okay. So sorry it didn't work out. I'm sorry, Van and Mike, thank you for giving your best shot. And Jake, thank you for stepping in and being able to tell us about what Mike did. All right. Next, as I mentioned, this is where I would like to add, we would like to, or I would like to go ahead and hold an election for a vice president for the board for the remainder of the Kate Reed's term, which would be to the end of December of 2020. I will entertain motions or other discussion.
Carl, can you give us like a 2-minute summary of some of the obligations that the vice president has, just to make sure we understand what the position entails?
Sure. I'll give it to you the way I don't have the board bylaws in front of me, so I may have missed things, but generally speaking, it's not unlike how most vice presidents work. In the event of my absence or inability to perform the job, like if I got sick or if I just couldn't make it to a meeting, the vice president would take over for those duties. There may be other specific duties. I just can't recall those right now, but I think generally speaking, it would be so that they could take over in an event that I'm not able to. AJ, you may do you happen to remember anything else about the VP position?
No, that's primarily it. It's also typical that the vice president and the president are the two main people that the general manager coordinates information with, and they then work together to coordinate it with other board members. So I will just say those are the kind of things.
That is a helpful addition. Thank you. Yes, Josh, go ahead.
Carl, the vice president position, I mean, filling the vice president position is separate from the other stuff that Kate was doing, you're thinking? Say a little bit about that, because she was doing so much stuff with the MPC and OMPOC and other things.
Yes. So the way committee positions are assigned is that that I, as a president, have the discretion to, and I usually just work with other board members to see what their interests are and where we need their talents and abilities. They're assigned that way. So there's no, to answer your question another way, there is no attached or a position on a committee that's attached to the vice presidency. So it's independent of those other committee assignments. So signing up for that does not mean you've congratulations, you're now an MPC or OMPOC. Perhaps I am not doing a good job selling this position very well.
Carl,
I could throw in OMPOC. Kristen, go ahead.
Yeah, so I pulled up the board bylaws and I just wanted to confirm there's nothing additional in the responsibilities from what you and AJ said. And I am not sure if you said it, but I just wanted to clarify that this is filling the vacancy for the rest of Kate's term in the officer role as vice president. So that means it's just through the end of this year. And then the board will have new elections later this year for officer roles starting January 1.
That's correct. Thank you for those clarifications. Yeah. Oh, I see Don Norden's hand up. Go ahead, Don.
Well, okay. If I volunteered for this, then I would not have to be treasurer anymore.
So you could run for this position, and then after, if you were voted in, then you would need to resign, and then we would need to have a election for a treasurer.
So we'd have to do this again right now, right?
I would prefer to keep everything filled up, but if there's further questions, yeah.
Can I chime in for a second, Carl, please?
Yes, go ahead, Stephen. Go ahead.
Did I cut somebody off?
No, I don't think so.
I nominate Caitlin Vargas to assume the position.
Oh, okay, thank you. So Stephen has nominated Caitlin Vargas for the position of vice president. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Josh Scove. Yeah, so this would be a good time for discussion. Perhaps a candidate may want to say something.
I really welcome the opportunity. I think that being able to spend the rest of this year, you know, there's no way to step into Kate's shoes, obviously, but I think the vice presidency offers a lot of good opportunities and training opportunities. And I appreciate it, and I would be happy to accept that nomination. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Excellent. Any discussion?
Don, does that let you off the hook and keep you as treasurer?
Oh, I think Don froze. Don might have frozen up. Did you hear the question, Don?
No, I was just approving of the nomination.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any other comments or questions for Caitlin? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to a vote. We'll do a roll call vote. So first, Josh Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yett.
Enthusiastic aye.
Okay, thank you. Emily Secord.
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So congratulations, motion passes. Congratulations, Caitlin. You are now the Vice President of the Lane Transit District Board.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, look forward to working with you more. So we'll go and move on to audience participation. And just to make sure, do we have any people interested that if we don't? Oh, I think we do. So I'm gonna go ahead and read this section to everyone. So this part of the agenda is reserved for members of the public to address the board on any issue. To indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. For those of you who are attending by phone, press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it is your time to speak, your name will be called. And if you're on the phone, the last four digits of your phone number will be called. Please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. And if you forget, I'll make sure to remind you. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please don't raise your hand again because we're only providing one opportunity to speak for each person. For those who are unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@ltd.org. And we do read those. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. On the screen, we will have a timer. There's no warning that 30-second warning or anything like that. So I'll just say that your time is up when the 3 minutes are over. And so with that, who do we have first, Camille?
We have Sherry Watson first. Bear with me 1 second. My timer reset to the wrong time. There we go. And Sherry Watson, go ahead and start your testimony.
Thank you. I'm a driver with LTD. I've been there a little over 30 years, and I'm proud to say I'm also your employee of the year. I'm calling in because of the safety concern, which I know you've heard a lot. I feel like the morale is very, very low right now, and part of it is everybody is anxious. We also are feeling we need to have clear and set rules that we can deny somebody entrance. We've made some advancement with the masks, but we have some riders. We have an unhoused woman that has refused to change her soiled and urinated in clothes for months. And a few of us knows that she's been denied until she gets cleaned up, but there's a lot who don't and still will transport her. It's extreme health issue. We also have two women that don't wear it's like a hairnet over their masks. They've been told they cannot ride with those unless they change out, but drivers don't know that. We need memos on our tables with photos. We need to have some of these warnings, but we also, we need added security. The MX drivers are having an incredible, awful time with people that are enraged, and their physical safety is at hand. A communication with us for us to be just talked to, literally come in and hear our stories so that we know we're being heard. Our anxiety is so high in us having to babysit and watch masks and do our job and keep our customers healthy or try to is people are having emotional breakdowns because it's just a heavy load, and we need to have communication with people who can do something about this on your levels. And so that's the two big ones for me, is communication and clear boundaries of what we can and can't do. I think there's so much fear in being sued that a lot of the securities people aren't able to do their jobs properly. We just need some clarification and some bigger steps. I know people are having, we're having overload issues on our buses. We're getting into the bus station late. We really need to bump up the frequency of our routes in a way. I'll cede the rest of this and thank you very much.
Sherry, thank you so much for being an employee of LTD and for taking the time to share your thoughts and your experiences with us. Thanks again. Camille, who do we have next?
Next, we have Rachel Anderson. Rachel, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Rachel Anderson. I live in Eugene, and I'm representing myself tonight. Thank you for the chance to talk. I wanna thank Sherry Watson, who just spoke, for being such a strong voice of advocacy for both the bus drivers and the riders. It's very illuminating to hear, and I appreciate her speaking tonight. I also wanna thank Kate Reed for her service that she has given to the board. And I know it's come at a lot of time and sacrifice, and so I wanna, on the record, thank her so much for that. I'm calling to talk about the transit tomorrow. It's been on the table for several months now. And actually, I have a funny little story. There was a British TV series that ran in the 1980s called Yes, Minister. Some of you are probably too young to remember that. But if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's a parody focusing on the challenges and bureaucracies of running a government. It's very funny. Lately, one particular episode has been coming to mind. In this episode, the government does some data collection on local hospitals. They rank the hospitals based on several metrics and find out that the number one hospital in London actually has no patients and never has. When the government insists that the hospital begin accepting patients, the officials overseeing the hospital get very upset because if they start taking patients, it's going to ruin their efficiency numbers. So it's a really funny episode, but this one has come to mind lately because sometimes I think of Lane County and I think how sad it's going to be if we end up with a high efficiency bus system with really low carbon dioxide emissions, but that we leave tens of thousands of citizens unable to access the bus line. And transit tomorrow in its current iteration will leave tens of thousands of locals without access to the bus lines. Many of locals who have had access to the bus lines or currently have access pre-transit tomorrow. We can't let that happen. It's a lifeline to so many, especially the elderly and disabled, for whom electric scooters or walking long distances just simply is not an option. So I know the people of Lane County want a functional transportation system. I know the board does, I know Aurora does. We've talked at different meetings and listening sessions. Many of us have asked over and over if we can help the staff and board with proposed changes. We want to help. We are part of the community. We care about LTD. We're the taxpayers and business owners that fund LTD. LTD belongs to all of us. And so we really want to put our shoulder to the wheel and help. And so we're just asking if there is a way to have the local people be able to give feedback and tweak Transit Tomorrow proposals. And we still would like to see the second updated Transit Tomorrow proposal that I think got cut off because of COVID. So I'm just calling in to ask to let us help you and let us take ownership of our beautiful, wonderful Lane County Transit System. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming to talk to us. Hey, before you go, you may have said it, but what is your city of residence again?
Eugene,
great. Thank you very much, Rachel. Who do we have next?
Okay, next we have Linda Duggan. Linda, go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
This is got you now. Thank you.
Linda Duggan. I live in Eugene. I'm also a member of the Southeast Neighborhood Transportation Committee. Today, I'm going to be reading a statement from Jess Turk-Roshek as she can't participate in today's meeting. I do agree with her statement. The Transit Tomorrow website quotes Board Chairman Yeh's April press release that the Transit Tomorrow decision-making process has been postponed until the public can participate in a meaningful way. Is Zoom webinar format during a national and local emergency a meaningful method of conducting public participation? I want to remind the board about the status of LTD's Transit Tomorrow public engagement pre-COVID-19. In March, the public was promised 3 more months, phase 3, robust public engagement related to Transit Tomorrow prior to a final board vote. In March, it was discussed by SPC that LTD was still stuck at a low level of public engagement, maybe even the lowest level of inform, according to the International Association of Public Participation. The SPC recommended a panel of neighborhood and community leaders and writers to provide intimate knowledge input on route changes. By March, LTD had collected comment forms and calls from 706 people regarding Transit Tomorrow. I'm hopeful the board has read all of them. If not, almost all expressed grave concerns, not about the nice ideas behind a frequent transit network, but about the specific routes proposed by outside consultant Jared Walker, not making the absolutely most sense for our community. For instance, Walker's recommendation to eliminate Route 28, which was experiencing steady and increasing ridership as of October 2019, which AJ described as optimal, not a low ridership, as some people were told during the public outreach forums. More than 152 people called or filled out comment forms about the importance of Route 28 alone by March. By March, 3,000 people had signed a change.org petition asking for LTD to listen and directly respond to their concerns about Jared Walker's routing design. Lastly, March was to include the release of an alternate route plan, which the public has still not seen, even though many insiders have. My recommendation for the board is to examine how the Transit Tomorrow process, when and if it is resumed, can raise the bar safely and effectively beyond low-level informing and consulting and up to the involve, collaborate, and empower engagement levels during this time of crisis. And I would also like to add thanks for Kate's service, and I really appreciate the courage of Sherry coming forth with concerns from the drivers, because they are the people that are directly on the front line for the bus service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda. And thank you for to Ms. Roshak too for the statement as well. Camille, if it looks like if you're reading down the list, I can take over this calling the next person. It looks like we have John Gangle next. And John, go ahead when you're ready.
John Gangle, bus driver, Lane Transit District. I live in Eugene, Oregon. I'm also a union representative with ATU. Quite frankly, I would say our current, I have a lot of concerns about driver, employee, passenger security right now. We are incredibly short of public safety officers. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but yet another public safety officer accepted a better job doing the same work. That means we're about to be even shorter. Some of the security issues recently, just this, we had a female driver on the platform at Eugene Station. A hostile passenger was coming at her. Two male drivers stood between her and the attempted assailant, kept her safe. And because security is so sparse, there was no security there to intervene. It was just drivers. That's not our job. That's keeping us in harm's way. I was driving a bus a couple weeks ago, angry homeless person punched out a window. There's obviously more details than that, but I have a minute and 40 seconds left, so I'm going to keep this quick. Drivers are in harm's way. I have a little VHF radio. I listen in. I'm hearing supervisors tell drivers over the airwaves to let more than the allotted number of people on buses, to just keep piling them on. Because ops is not keeping track of people left behind at stops, I've been keeping track with other members. Got a text message today on a 13, three people left behind at a stop. Next bus is an hour behind. Ops is just saying, okay, thanks for letting me know you're in drop-off only. These buses are running an hour frequency. I mean, we can't really improve our ridership numbers when we've artificially stunted the ridership growth. Driver safety is just at an all-time low right now, and I just can't ignore that anymore. We really need your help to fix that. Thank you.
John, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience with us, and it's very helpful. Thank you. Next, we have John Q. Murray. And please go ahead when.
Hello. Hi, this is John Q. Murray. I live in Eugene, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Committee. Just want to thank the others who spoke as individuals. And I would like to note the presence of one committee participant who did not agree in all areas that I'll share tonight, but chose not to block our group consensus. So I just wanted to acknowledge that generosity. And also say that while this one participant felt comfortable enough to participate with us, we recognize that others may not, especially if others may not feel welcome due to a perceived lack of diversity of ideas. I would also like to say, please let us know what we can do to make you feel welcome. We want to represent the views of everyone in Southeast Neighbors. So with that, we're so thankful to you, the board, Kate, our LTD Employee of the Month, Mike, Sherry, John, all LTD drivers, union management staff, for your ability to continue serving us throughout our transition to this new world order, Novus Ordo Seclorum. One ask from this meeting, some folks have been unable to connect and participate in the Zoom meetings. Can we keep track of those disconnects or unable to speak, et cetera, and make that part of the public record? We also had one participant ask to be able to see others in the meeting, to see their names. That is possible with configuration settings, apparently, in Zoom. So as LTD considers resuming transit tomorrow, we just wanted to recap many of our previous discussions we've had with the board, just to bring us up to date with all the things we've set up here. There's a full letter submitted to Camille, but we've asked you to post notices on all bus stops that would be closed at least 2 months before the board votes on transit tomorrow to spread word among the frequent riders. We have offered to help with public outreach in our neighborhood. We'd like you to create a data sharing program. Specifically, we're interested in the expected greenhouse gases break-even date, when we expect to flip from net increases in CO2 emissions to net decreases under the new routes. We've suggested the Infinity Loop, a hybrid plan that would start and end routes 24, 28, and 73 at our neighborhood hub. I'm hoping there'll be a pub there. We're looking for various commercial development around it, and extending to the trailheads. And we just want to thank Don Norton for his leadership on micromobility, and thank LTD for all you're doing for our community during this pandemic. We hope you will seize this historic moment to reaffirm your commitment to public service, public outreach, and public partnerships. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate the time that you're taking to talk with us. And I want to correct something real quick. John Gangle, I forgot to mention, thank you very much for your LTD service too as an employee, especially in these challenging times. as you stated. Next, we have Steve Hickson. Go ahead, Steve, when you're ready, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can, thank you.
Hi, my name is Steve Hickson. I reside in Crestwell, and I'm speaking on behalf of laid off operators. I'm basically gonna read the testimony I emailed the board so everyone has a chance to hear. I am one of 41 operators who have been laid off since June 6. It was a punch in the gut to be on the front line serving the community during the pandemic, only to be told, here's your pink slip, you're being permanently laid off instead of temporarily laid off. I love my community, I love my job. In this time of recovery, it is time for LTD to serve the community and protect its operators. People are finding alternate modes of transportation because LTD is not providing sufficient service to get them to work. Unemployment has dropped to 11.1% in June. July numbers will be out in a few days and will continue a downward trend. These numbers indicate a faster return to work than was predicted in April, but LTD has not wanted to revisit decisions based on those predictions. For the safety of the community and to help with social distancing, LTD needs to provide more service to appropriately accommodate the number of riders. I personally know of 10 drivers who have already decided not to return. The longer LTD waits without a show of faith to the remaining laid off drivers, that the more people will find gainful employment elsewhere. If LTD plans on restoring service, they need these train drivers more than they might realize. Other agencies in Oregon are running service at 75 to 80% pre-pandemic service levels, but LTD insists on maintaining the initial 50% adjustment, even though our COVID-19 infection rates are some of the lowest in the state. LTD budgeted to keep 151 drivers. There are currently down to 144, and rumor has it another 7 will retire by November. 2 will retire before the end of summer. At a minimum, the number of drivers should be maintained at 151. That is increasingly important going into fall to be able to show the community we care about their safety and have enough resources available to maintain a visible presence of a wipe down crew able to properly sanitize buses returning to the station after every run. I hear from my former coworkers that they are overworked, stressed, and morale is dropping. It's time to show support for the drivers and the ones who were laid off and bring some people back to work. Thank you for taking the time to allow me to read you my testimony.
Steve, thank you very much. It was really good of you to come back and talk with us and share that opinion with us, that statement, and for your email as well. Next we have Julie Locke. And please go ahead whenever you're ready, Julie.
Can you hear me? Yes?
We can. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, my name is Julie Locke. I'm a bus driver. I am actually the driver that John Gangle spoke of. And I was calling just to kind of give you an idea and to address the safety of our drivers and give you my personal experience of being on the platform, having an irate person that was left behind because of his actions. He was screaming and cussing as he got on the bus. We had tried to help him prior to that, and then he was more agitated because he knew it's an hour till the next bus. And I guess I'm assuming that. Anyway, he came at me calling me some pretty bad names and just charged at me as I ran around a pole trying to stay away from him, looking if there was anybody around that could help me, the security. There's nobody there. Luckily, two drivers stepped in to distance put between me and the person that was aggressively coming at me. I called security. They came out to the platform. But probably my biggest thing for me was that when I asked whether or not that person would be denied after this, I was told no, that he apologized. Although he had been denied previously, he'd been doing well for a while. He can go from 0 to 100. And my whole thing is that for the safety of, you know, that they say that we are the top priority when it comes to safety. However, if you have a customer that can get irate like that, or to charge at a driver like myself, I was very scared, and then turn around and not deny him service after that, makes it hard to think that LTD is really about our safety. I do appreciate that they are doing the barriers. I know there are things that they are doing for our safety, but I think increasing security on the platform and denying people that get aggressive with us is, you know, would make us feel a lot more safe, and there wouldn't be the low morale that we do have regarding our safety. Sorry, I'm just kind of nervous here. So I guess that's all. I just wanted to share my story with you and how it made me feel and how I was afraid. And, you know, those kind of things are happening out there with drivers. And I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and share that with you.
Thank you so much, Juliet. I think you and other operators sharing those experiences to us is just very, very useful. And I want to thank you for your service, but also more importantly, just acknowledge that, you know, being an operator is more than just driving a vehicle. Clearly you're intervening in situations or on the receiving end of situations and being caretakers of the community. And I just want to acknowledge that. So thanks again. Next we have John Hampton. And John, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hi, outstanding. Hi, I'm John Hampton. I'm an instructor, bus operator, LTD for 13 years. I'm also a union officer, recording secretary for the union there at ATU for LTD. I would like to just touch on some of the things that the other operators and members of our community have already spoken of. Communication could be so much better, and if the members and the public could know a little bit more about what's going on in our short-term and our long-term future, would be great. What is the plan? What's the plan for next bid? We don't know these things. Next bid, we start bidding in 3 weeks, and we don't even know what we're looking at yet. I'm sure there are some underlying causes for that, but open up and tell us what's going on so we know. It'd make everything a lot simpler, and it could improve morale. Morale is at its lowest it's ever been in the 13 plus years that I've been there. I've watched people that are always positive and upbeat become not so anymore. I try to experience the corpse. I'm very big on morale. I want people to be happy. I like to be happy. It's getting increasingly difficult to keep that up at LTD now. Communication would help tremendously. Safety, you've heard many times already today. Operators and cleaners are being challenged, to say the least. We've had operators that have had passengers come up to the front of the bus and challenge them. You just heard Julie speak of her challenge that she just had. These are not lone and rare things. I had an operator tell me today that's on a cleaning crew, tell me that she had been challenged 3 times when she came to my bus to clean it. She had already been challenged 3 times today. There's issues here, and we need more security. We need more of our public safety officers, and we need to hire some more and get them in there. Ridership is up and it's steady. As you've already heard, we have a low count of COVID cases in comparison to other counties and areas of Oregon. And we have the least percentage of available service than anybody else around us. The frequency, the problem we're having right now with the frequency, we're putting 20 people on a 40-foot bus, 30 people in a 60-foot bus. You cannot social distance 3 foot at that part. There's no way you can put 20 people on a 40-foot bus. I drive one in the mornings at work, and I drive MX in my afternoon piece of work, which is a 60-foot bus. And 30 people on that bus, they're not social distancing at 3 feet either at that point. We need to continue the cleaning. We need to keep our operators safe. The way to keep our public safe and healthy is to continue to clean these buses and very rigorously as we're doing at this point and continue that on. Our laid off members, they're confused. They don't know. They've been told things like, oh, you'll be back. Oh, you'll not be back. They've been led. Am I out of time?
Yeah, sorry, John. Perhaps you can come back next time and finish, give us more comments. But thank you very much for taking the time and for being out there, like I said earlier. Next, we have Anthony Jackson. And Anthony, go ahead as soon as you're ready.
All right. Can you hear me now?
We can.
All right. Hi, I'm Anthony Jackson. I reside in Springfield, Oregon. I'm one of the 41 that was laid off. And not only my own concerns of being laid off and wanting to go back to work because it's beneficial to my family, I also have family and friends that ride the bus. My father lives outside of Eugene Springfield. He rides a Junk City bus. He now can't ride the bus because he can't meet that time because of the such low level of service. And a lot of my friends that ride the bus, they say that the reason why they're not riding the bus is because the service level doesn't meet what they need. They can't get somewhere on time, and so they have to find other modes of transportation to work, which is kind of sad for them and for LTD in itself. But you know, I would love to go back to work and that. But I think increasing the service would help immensely to that. My mom, she lives in town. She moved into town so she could ride the bus. But again, the level of service only being an hour with her condition, it's easier for her to drive and a lot faster. She wanted to give up her car, but because of this right now, she can't. I do have concerns for safety of my, you know, the drivers that I am and friends that work at LTD. I think the only way we're going to do to keep the amount of people that we need on the bus is to increase service. That makes sense both ways. If you increase service, you will see more riders. Like I said, I'd like to come back to work. I know a number of the 41 that were laid off would love to. When we all miss it, and we hope to be back soon. And thank you for letting me talk.
Anthony, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And I want to thank you for your previous service and also your insights into ridership. Next, we have Lucy Bambry. And thank you, everyone, for your patience as we work through the list of speakers. And we really do value your input to us. Lucy, when you're ready, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can. Please go ahead.
My name is Lucy Bambry, and I live in Southeast Eugene. First of all, kudos to those folks who are on the front lines and the staff who are working. We know it's a weird and challenging time, and my empathy for those staff, drivers, and office workers who have been either furloughed or laid off. So we appreciate your service, whether it's ongoing or temporarily furloughed. I've spoken over the winter at a couple of the meetings about my concern for the Transit Tomorrow plan that came out in the fall that would either eliminate or consolidate the number 28 bus. I still have a concern about that. But tonight I would like to speak about the public participation portion of the Transit Tomorrow. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see where a second version of that has been put out to the public for comment. And you have a lot of really wonderful people in the southeast part of the city who don't really want to be disenfranchised by changes to the service. And I urge the board and I urge the SPC to tap into that resource and bring out the revised version, unless it's hiding somewhere on the website. I've not seen it. I am speaking for myself, but I reiterate everything that some of my Southeast neighbors have said tonight. And we hope that you'll take it to heart and come out with a revised version that we can work with you on and comment on and give you some maybe alternate ideas. Thank you for the opportunity. I love it.
You cut out a little bit there, Lucy, but I think we heard you. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us. Oh, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Did you want to finish? Were you finished?
No, I'm finished. I just kept saying I like Emily's baby.
Oh, we all do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. So thank you very much to the public. I'm sorry. We have one more person, Bill Bradley. Please go ahead when you're ready.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. I like that 5-minute timer that this all began with, but I'll take the 3. My name's Bill Bradley, Springfield, Oregon, Executive Board Officer for ATU 757, representing frontline workers at LTD. As you heard from members tonight, you heard from some laid off members, you heard from some members that are currently out there either cleaning buses or driving buses. You know, we all know it's a weird time. People are getting frustrated. What's the cause of the frustration? It's a lack of knowledge of what the future holds. It's the poor service that's out there in terms of, you know, essential, you know, minimum service that we're doing. We see opportunities as frontline workers where we can expand service and get more riders, but also space them out better and provide a better quality service. So the working poor, the students, the folks that don't have cars originally can participate in the recovery that we're hoping it happens. At LTD, at Lane County, we have pretty low incidences of COVID. We look at our peer agencies across the Northwest, and we see that most of them are providing much more service than LTD is. A minimum 75% of their normal service, where LTD may be at 50%. This includes Salem, Portland, C-Train in Vancouver, Washington, Spokane, Washington, a community transit in north of Seattle there. Have all provided, gotten back to near normal level. ATU went to the legislature hand in hand with LTD management and transit agencies across the state to get stiff funds freed up for restoring or maintaining public service. ODOT has recently come out with some guidance through the Public Transportation Division on how to access that and what the process is for LTD to use stiff funds to bring people back, to provide an adequate level of service for the community as we experience our economic recovery. To date, I haven't gotten much engagement on what LTD plans to do with that newfound avenue of funding, and I haven't seen much discussed at the board meetings of what the board would like to do with that newfound avenue of funding in terms of serving the community. Right now, we're seemingly just looking at charts that are essentially flat week after week that don't change. The context of the charts could improve. Right now, we're just looking at ridership, but we're not looking at what that gets us in terms of productivity. And our ridership is down about 60% of what a July would be in a normal year. Right now, we're about 20% down in productivity, so people are still using the bus. LTD has high productivity anyway. I believe if we put more service out there, we will see more riders, and we'll be able to help them participate in the recovery. I want to also stress that the security of our operators is paramount. We are installing barriers, but they just need to feel backed up by management. When they call in something, they need to feel like management has their back and that ops is going to send somebody, they're going to back them up, they're going to make sure that person is excluded, and you know they won't have to see them on the platform anytime soon or have to fear when they turn over their shoulder, you're going to see somebody that they previously had an incident with.
Sorry to interrupt. We passed time. I just wanted you to stop you there.
What happened in 5 minutes,
Carl? Oh, it's a 3-minute timer.
I know. Thank you, Carl.
Oh. Thank you very much, Bill. Really appreciate you also, and also, of course, all the operators on talking with us today. So thank you. That looks like is it for the public audience participation. We look forward to more of this at the next meeting. So let's see, moving on, let's see, we have our board member reports, and I'd like to invite Leah Rausch, who is our chair for our strategic planning committee, to join us so that she can do the SPC report. While we're getting her in there, Were there any other board members with reports that they would like to share? That in addition to what's already written? I'm scanning the room. Okay, hearing none. If Leah, if you're ready, please go ahead with your SBC report. And oh, you know what? Just to cut you off a little bit. One of the reasons we're doing this is because we're trying to strengthen the relationship between SBC and the board. And one of the things that that is helpful is, and that Leah is helping with is that by her coming to the board, because they are a advisory group of and or function as that. So go ahead, Leah.
Cool. Thank you, Carl. And thank you everyone for having me. I'll keep it pretty quick. And then I think I'll be back with you a little bit later in the meeting to talk a little bit more about transit tomorrow. But we, SPC reconvened again in August, and as directed by the board and the ad hoc committee of the board earlier this summer, we really started focusing on the strategic business planning process and how we can kind of best inform that over the coming months. So we started at the top with kind of the why statement, looking at some of the background in terms of what you all did at the retreat earlier this year. And kind of the draft why statement that you all came up with. So I wanted to quickly share some of the kind of response to that from SPC members. I think the collective reaction to the draft statement was that we like the direction it's headed. We like a lot of the keywords included, but it's really long and it might be trying to be all things to all people at this point. So I think specifically, and I don't have the draft statement in front of me, so I apologize, but specifically the second clause felt like it was getting a little bit more to the how statement. And you know, while the principles it states are good, it might be maybe the wrong place for them. So the SPC members agreed that the statement should be concise. It should be something that's understood and embraced across the organization, you know, from all levels, from, you know, drivers and operators to, you know, management and the board and everything in between. It should also be kind of an aspirational statement. So one committee member kind of off the cuff suggested the following statement that I'll read to you, which is to be the premier, safe, reliable, equitable transportation choice for our community. We're not necessarily, you know, set on or recommending that specific statement, but the committee liked that it was short, direct, aspirational, and included some keywords, which are safe, reliable, choice, and equitable. So I'll leave you with that for now. We're looking forward to kind of digging in further to conversations around the what and the how, and then some of the long-term planning that'll be incorporated into the strategic business plan. So thank you all for having me.
And thank you for sharing that. And I was present at that SBC meeting, and people were very excited about that, I think, and then I thought they really understood the importance of why we need this why statement and that we have a very clear mission that we are trying to adhere to. Leah, if you're available, just to make sure, any quick questions to Leah about that statement or about the work that was done on it? Great, and Leah's right, we will see you again shortly, so thanks, so stick around.
Thanks, Leah.
Thanks. Okay, let's move on to the next item, which is the consent calendar. This one I can just, if someone would like to make a motion, we can go there. But if there's any discussion needed, just let me know. Don, go ahead.
This is just a niggling point in the minutes of the meeting.
Sure thing. June 17th minutes, you said?
anyhow, we had just had a report on the sustainability stuff and said their goals, the three goals, that we're going to have 25 buses, then we're going to have 75 by 2030 and 100% by 2035. And there's a typo in there that says 100% by 2030, a little bit further down the paragraph. I had a note of which page that was on.
It's page 12 of the packet.
Yeah. Page well, anyway, it's just clarification of that particular number, since it's obviously a typo thing.
Could you say that again? Because I'm not 100% clear on that one. What was the typo you were trying to correct?
Where is my page?
I think I'm looking at the thing that you're referring to on page 12 of 83 of the packet.
Yeah, actually, the error is on page 13. Yeah, the error is on page 13. It's correct on page 12. Yeah, we just need to...
It's just a little detail that should be corrected.
Yeah, Josh, can you point out which paragraph it is? I'm not seeing it. I just want to make sure it's for the record.
The last big paragraph on page 13 says 75% by 2030 and then 100% by 2030 right after it. It's correct on the opposite page, page 12. So we just need to make a note to amend.
100% by 2035 is what it should read. Yeah, okay, great. So we'll note that for the record. Got it. Good eye, Don. I would have never have seen that, actually. So if you'd like to make a move in adoption with that amendment, we can move forward unless there's more discussion.
I'd just like to accept it with that adjustment.
Okay. So Don has moved to the consent calendar for August 19, 2020 be approved as amended with his amendment on that page 13 to as stated. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Well,
second
bunch of us. No, that was Stephen.
Okay, Stephen gets a second. So moved by Don, seconded by Stephen. We'll do a roll call vote. So we'll start with Josh.
Aye.
Don Norton.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
Emily Secord. Said aye.
Emily's muted.
It was a visual aye, so I will note that for the record. And I, Carl, vote aye as well. So consent calendar passes. Very good. So let's move on to the next item. So the public meeting schedule. So this probably hopefully won't take too long, but as we discussed several weeks ago, that perhaps we did not need to meet as frequently as we were with the COVID situation, for the reason of the COVID situation. So this is our time to discuss it. We can move straight to, if someone has a suggestion or knows what they would like the board to consider to move to a new different meeting schedule, please go ahead and throw that out there, either as a discussion or motion. And I see Josh, your hand up. Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to wait for others if there. I just wanted to get in before we go straight to a motion. I am a little concerned that we don't have in this meeting any formal discussion of the structure of the fall service offering, the fall bid, and so this meeting could go by, and then we wouldn't have any input in that until after that happens. And so I feel like given the public comment we've heard and given all the previous discussion, we shouldn't leave out our weekly meetings in the immediate future. That was the only thing I wanted to specify. Like maybe we need a few more weekly meetings before we go to doing it just twice a month.
Oh yeah, it's totally fine. And we don't actually have to make any decision today. We can continue on the course we've been on. This item is just in case we want to make a little adjustment. So I think Josh has put something out there. Don, was your hand up for the last one, or did you want to make a comment about this particular item?
No, I think last time we just said that we were going to make it succinct, you know, a half hour meeting. So I'm okay with keeping it the way it is.
Gotcha. Other thoughts for a motion? Go ahead, Emily.
Just a thought. I would rather have them less frequently with the longer duration. A shorter meeting just as regularly isn't any more convenient than what we're doing right now, to be honest.
Thanks, Emily. Any other comments? So the way we can move forward now is that there can be no motion made. We can continue discussing. I by no means am trying to cut discussion off. But if we would prefer to just leave things the way they are, then no motion needs to be made. If people would like to meet in a different format, like Emily has suggested something, someone needs to put a motion out to do that, and then we should discuss and then vote. So I will put that out there to the board.
Carl, can I jump in for a second, please?
Please do. Go ahead, Stephen.
Thank you. I'd agree with Emily, maybe twice a month, but stretch them out a little bit more. Maybe a better format and a little less time consuming for us versus every week.
And just to clarify, would you be suggesting perhaps so we would meet every two times a month? One would be the regular board meeting. The other one would be a 1 hour meeting.
Sure, we can try that. Again, I think the situation is fluid, so we don't have to commit to something and then it's forever. We can try it, and if it's not working, then right. We adapt.
Absolutely. I know, just clarifying, seeing that's what you were saying. If someone wanted to make a motion to that effect or iterate that they would like things to stay the same, we can go from there too. So Don, was your hand up again, or is this a...
Oh, maybe I haven't lowered it.
That's okay. I wasn't keeping track, so and your mic was on just in case. Any other comments or motions?
I'd like Steve to make a motion on what he's proposed.
Steve, would you like to make a motion? Steven?
It's Emily's brilliant idea and she's eating, so I'm going to make her do it.
It's okay. I'll stop eating. Sorry. I'd like to make a motion to change our frequency of meetings to every other week, effective immediately, with one being the regular board meeting, with one being a special board meeting. Hopefully that's sufficient to cover it all.
Just to clarify, the special meeting, about an hour in length?
Correct. I'm just adjusting the length of that meeting as needed and keeping that a fluid option.
Right. And just as Stephen said, you know, we can undo this just as easily as we did it. So no one needs to fear that this is now we've done it forever. So just like we're changing it from the weekly meetings. So just checking, because that is a little different from what some other people were saying. Any discussion on this?
Can you repeat that one time, Carl? I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Oh, I was said it doesn't have to be, whatever we decide, it can be undone just as easily. And just want to make sure that people had a chance to talk about it, since I think there were some differing opinions at the very beginning. Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to a vote. So it was moved by Stephen, seconded by, it was moved by Emily. Was it seconded?
Actually, Bill needs a second.
Okay, who would like to second that?
Second. Josh is seconding it.
Oh, I think he beat you to it, Stephen. So Josh is seconded. Can't do that. In favor of it, we'll go through the roll call vote. Josh Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
Emily Support.
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So motion passes. So I look forward to that. I think perhaps we can dive into some topics in addition to getting a COVID update. There may be some meaningful things that we can do in those special meetings in terms of moving forward with stuff. Josh.
Yeah, just a super quick note on this. And of course, I'm obviously fine forging ahead with this. I would say that we should plan for our next meeting to be 2 weeks from now. Next week, the University of Oregon is going to make a big announcement of some sort about the structure of fall. And I would, as I suggested before, I think it would be more responsible of us to have some conversation in advance of the fall restructuring. And so I think we should plan to do that 2 weeks from now.
That's a great point. And I know that LTD staff is in communication with U of O too. So they're getting updated as well. So, but Josh is also correct. We will, so that means since the passing of this motion, our next meeting will not be next week. It will be 2 weeks from now and a bit longer in duration. So thank you very much for working through that. And I hope that helps us make do our work better. So moving ahead to the next item. So transit tomorrow with the process update, or sorry, decision making process update with SBC. If we could invite Leah back in. And perhaps we might be, looks like we have Jennifer Zankowski presenting. Maybe we should start with Jennifer first and then we can work in Leah. Jennifer's available.
So Tom is actually going to be doing the presentation.
Oh, Tom.
On this okay. agenda item. So I just am pulling him over now. Bear with me for just a moment. And I will also pull Leah over.
Thank you very much, Camille.
I'm ready.
Go ahead, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, let me share my screen. So we're asking you to consider an action to resume the Transit Tomorrow decision making tonight. And we have a short presentation just to catch you up on the context, remind you where we've been, and then seek your discussion. Let me put this into presentation mode. Here we go. Just to give you a reminder of where we've been, the process started back in early 2018, and the first material coming out of that was a choices report in May of 2018. I won't go through all of this, but we started with that and got to a place in August where the draft network plan was published and the board gave us a resolution to move forward with a ridership model and an implementation plan. We had conducted some public engagement in January through March, and then in April, of course, the board resolved to pause these kinds of planning projects, and we moved forward from there. More specifically, this is the set of resolutions that you've given us through this period of time, and again, directed us to pursue a scenario of 80 to 85% of the metro area resources, service resources, on a high ridership model, with 5% of those resources being focused on mobility options. You advanced the proposed network for further study and implementation in August of 2019. And then that's when in April you directed service planning to maintain a minimal level of service to provide vital community transportation for essential trip making. And then also at that meeting, you gave direction to pause the process. In June, you passed a meeting regarding public meetings, continuing to hold special meetings on Wednesdays, and continuing to use the kinds of technologies we're using tonight. So just talking about the impacts of the pandemic on the service, I mean, you've heard over the weeks the response in terms of ridership, given the level of service we've been providing. But you also articulated that, you know, productivity is not the goal at this time. And so what we're seeking to do is provide a useful level of service. And that's one that meets the needs that we're observing during this period. And so you actually articulated as a board the public health first approach to safely operate the minimum level of service that can be provided for essential trip making in the region. And again, with the understanding that what essential trip making is, is going to shift over time as things change. And so early in April, we had a very, very minimal level of service. There wasn't a lot of essential trip making going on, but that's increased as the counties move to different levels of reopening. And just to reiterate the things that we've been doing with respect to adhering to the health agency guidelines and best practices by regularly sanitizing our buses, limiting loads to 20 passengers for 40-foot buses and 30 for 60-foot buses. We moved the white line back from the driver and are using rear door boarding at this time. And then requiring all staff and passengers to wear face masks while on LTD property. We've suspended collecting fares. We're installing protective shields, which you've heard about, and we're continuously monitoring the operations. And so we've adapted over time through that monitoring process. We've adapted the virtual meeting format and adjusted our business functions internally and externally. And just to give you, and you've seen some of these numbers, but a sense of the change in the hours we're operating. In 2019, we had about 280,000 hours that we operated. This is fiscal years. In fiscal year 20, we'd budgeted for close to 290,000, ended up only operating about 247,000. And currently, we're operating about 160,000. And of course, as the board might be aware, we're budgeted to operate the equivalent of 250,000. So, in reflecting a health first priority in our current operations, we're operating a modified Sunday service. And I won't go through each of the bullets, but the frequency on MX is about 10 minutes and it's hourly on most other routes. The Sunday service, and that's something we're operating Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday service is basically the Sunday level of service we are operating pre-COVID. So as we look at it from the impacts of pandemic on service planning and the limited resources that we have to work with and the markets that exist today, we've focused on our core routes. And so what you have here is a set of considerations that we have, given the resources, the next step would be to add span to core routes. And add spot frequency. For example, we've done that on the 66 and 67 based on ridership and load capacity, and managing to those max loads. We would shift service in response to school reopening. Again, as was alluded to, we're working with the U of O now in terms of, in fact, we just met with them this morning talking about what their plans are, and they noted the announcement that's going to happen next week, and that could affect how much activity is going on at the U of O, though at this point we feel the service model that we're proposing for fall would adequately address that and other potential needs. Also, I think we've mentioned that in February we plan on opening the Santa Clara Transit Station, and that would require some additional adjustments in our service. And so looking forward, there's, as we're saying here, significant uncertainties remain in terms of the duration of the pandemic, the pace and form of our economic recovery, which has an impact on both our ability to add service from a financial standpoint, but also the size and structure of the mobility market. There's also questions as we're seeing, and some of you may have experienced this as well, but during this pandemic, as more of us have been working at home, there's a legitimate question that we're considering in terms of who will be riding our service in the short term, medium term, and long term, in terms of how the recovery, economic recovery, will take place, When will schools reopen and what models are they going to use in terms of at home or in-person learning? How long will remote work continue? We've heard a lot of people talk about the productivity that they're seeing in the places they work from remote work. So there may be, we're not anticipating a total transition to working at home, but rather that there may, that may affect our commute market as we move forward. So we'll be watching all of those things. And so as we pivot to this new normal, again, we're not in a place where we can operate the level of service that we were operating pre-COVID, at least in the near term. We don't have the resources to implement the level of service proposed in Transit Tomorrow originally. And as we move forward, we're going to need to make changes to the service incrementally within the confines of our budget and the pandemic. So with respect to the board's discussion, the basic question is, should staff resume the Transit Tomorrow decision-making process or continue to pause project activities? And the SPC chair was going to share some of the discussion that they had on that question. And if directed to resume, we would come back next month with a plan of action and schedule for you to consider. And if directed to remain paused, then we would continue to make these adjustments to service in the context of the public health first approach and to continue to regularly review performance and present that to the board. So at this point, I ask you if you have any questions.
Thank you very much, Tom. I really appreciate that stark appraisal of where, just where we are at right now. And I see Caitlin's hand is up, and we'll start with you, Caitlin.
Tom, I guess my question is, could be for you or maybe AJ, but you know, you are asking this pretty big question about whether to resume or pause. What do you think you heard out of the testimonials today? What do you think the community is saying?
Tom, do you want me to answer that?
Sure.
I mean, I think we are hearing from our community in the South Eugene area about the fact that they continue to be concerned at eliminating service or reducing service in the areas that were originally discussed during the Transit Tomorrow is something that they do not agree with. It is very consistent with the messaging that we heard during, well, prior to COVID-19. And it's consistent with the testimony we received at the Strategic Planning Committee. Today's decision is not to whether we should adopt a ridership model or a coverage model. Today's decision is if the board feels that resuming that conversation leading to a decision is a wise use of staff time. And we wanna make sure we bring that before you. It really is a subjective question. What we can say is 6 months or from now, the board may be asking, why are we not prepared, right? Why are we not prepared to get out of the COVID-19? And it's because it takes time to engage the community to do that. So at the point that the board is comfortable that we resume that process, and that process would mean that at the next meeting in September, we would have to come back and give you a timeline and information. Doesn't mean we have not jumped the gun. We are really leaving it in your hands. And we're saying that if you would like us to resume it in September, we're gonna come back with a plan about what the new schedule would be and how we would present all of that and invest in that process. And then the board would know at what point a decision would be made and provide input about what they would like to see. We don't know how long we're gonna continue in a virtual world meeting. So definitely all communications has to be adapted to today's environment that may continue beyond the calendar year. An alternative would be to wait until we're completely out. of this, and what we would do at the staff level, we would resume the old model in which was higher percentage of coverage. So we need to know that, as you heard today, a lot of our employees are saying, put more buses out. The question we have is, where do we put them? Do we put them in coverage or do we put them in frequency? We know that for the fall, as we discussed during the budget process, we kind of talked about how we would roll out the fall service change, but we still need to make decisions about future service changes, which typically come in February, which would be very minor, but definitely the bigger ones start coming back in June of 2021, September of 2021. And unless we know what the board wants or feels we should do, ultimately, you basically kind of default. And I think one board member was telling me, without the board making a decision, it defaults to the staff because we have to do something. I mean, our employees and the community does require us to do something, but we want to make sure that our decisions are founded on the board's direction. So that's why we're asking the board, should we resume transit tomorrow? And if you do, then we would say yes, then we would come back in September and bring you back a plan for resuming it. So today's decision is, so you can see that plan. At the next meeting, you would approve that plan or amend it and then approve it as amended, or say we reject the plan. And, you know, so it still stays in the board, but at this point we wouldn't want to invest in that process if the board says we're not ready. So that's what we heard, and that's kind of how we want to make sure that we're working with you guys and getting your input before we jump the gun and just start making a bunch of decisions.
I have a question, if I can jump in.
Yeah, go ahead, Emily.
We go back a slide or so. Thanks, Carl. One more. Oh, sorry, this one. Forward. Will you just remind us what you mean by span in step one, add span to core routes?
Sure. So span of service is the length we operate from morning to evening.
Okay. And are we getting any feedback that that's a priority? Or are we hearing more about frequency and coverage?
We're hearing span. You know, that we get a mix of input on the level of service. People during the week that are used to using transit have more limited choices, right? If we went from half hour service on many routes to an hour, you don't have as many choices. And so that's a hardship. We did, as you might recall, modify our Sunday level service for the weekday by adding some span. We'd go back a little bit more in the morning and operate a little bit more in the evening than we are now. But that's kind of what that would look like.
Well, and I would just add really quickly, Tom, you Tom, make sure I've understood this right, but in answer to Emily's question, you have shown us week after week fairly sustained demand after 8:30 p.m. So in that sense, maintaining that span is definitely serving people.
Right.
Just making sure to get some questions to Tom, but if there aren't any, I'm going to move to Leah, then I'd like to put myself in. Don, go ahead.
Well, we still don't know what's going to happen with COVID here, but in the planning, if we had come to phase three, as we were perhaps thinking would happen by now, does that mean that we could increase the volume of passengers on the bus? What does phase three allow us to do? Could we then have, you know, 40 passengers in a 40 passenger bus, or just open them up as a people want to ride?
So just to clarify, when you say phase three, are you talking about the recovery plan?
Yes. I don't know whether, you know, that's been spelled out as for the transit agencies for the state or not. I just know that, well, okay, we're still in phase two, but phase three was an opening for more activity. And I'm just asking if we have a plan for what's phase three mean. Can we put more people per bus on it and feel like we're being safe?
At this point, we don't have that kind of guidance. And I don't know, AJ, if you have more information on that. But.
And Don, can you kind of tell me a little bit about what you mean about that? I'm trying to understand what the question is from you.
Well, when we talked about this first in COVID languages back in March, you know, we adopted the, you know, public health attitude of saying, okay, and then we defined what that meant in phase two when we got there. We were setting it as, you know, I think when we first started, it was like 10 people or 15 people per bus for a 40-foot bus. And then it's up to, you know, 20 people for 40-foot bus. So if we go to the next phase, phase three, and that would be guidance from the state or from the governor's office or wherever, I'm just wondering if there is some guidance that says, okay, if we're in phase three, does that mean we can put, you know, 50 people on a 40-foot bus, you know, or 48 people on a 48 bus? You know, that's the sort of question, if you understand.
Yes, I understand it. Thank you. So yes, you said, how did we come up with that 20 passengers? Well, the governor did not put out the number of passengers. They put out the space on transit buses, and they determined it was 3 feet. However, wearing face covering at all times during that, and of course, taking precautions to protect employees and riders. Using that criteria, our risk management team and operations staff and maintenance staff had to work to create those 3 feet, provided there's family members, not people from the same household. And when they looked at that, they looked at the 20 passengers. What I will say is we work directly with Lane County public health officials. Our staff has been working with OSHA, who has reviewed our procedures and approved them. And we also work, like Cosette said earlier, with our other partners. Most recently, we are now having weekly meetings with Lane County, and they're providing us advice about how to adapt if they see a change in one direction or another. So that means we do have to maintain nimble, that if they were to change that spacing, even if the governor has not changed that, we need to change here in Lane County. Just like LTD was one of the first agencies in the nation that went to face covering. And Lane County has taken a very proactive approach to protecting, and our numbers really reflect it. So we've been, although we keep abreast of the minimum standard being the state and the federal, we actually react to the locals the most. So that's why a lot of people are questioning, why are we doing this or another? It's because we're in regular contact. We sit in partnership in meetings with our local officials, but now myself and other staff at LTD, we're attending weekly meetings with the county to get that advice, like every single week. And we sometimes get daily or every 2 days updates from the county. And that's how we're making the decisions. And I will say, we are, David Collier is sending out regular communications, and I send more a monthly communication to make sure that our employees know why we're doing what we're doing and if we're changing. So that's how we came up with the 20, Don. But we could change that if the county advises us immediately to change it. And that means we would deploy more buses immediately. And I believe anytime that that does become a problem, our operations team outside of our planning team just deploys a bus. So even though the driver calls it in, that driver has to call it in because the supervisor has to then deploy. Are they called something, Tom, when the dispatcher has to deploy additional bus?
It's like a tripper.
Are they called trippers? How are they? How does the dispatch qualify them? Because it's not service that you guys put up. It's supervisor when they get a call in has to deploy an extra bus.
Still a tripper.
It's called a tripper. So yeah, so the supervisor has to deploy a tripper, and what they do is they keep standby people or they pull somebody from the wipe down crew if they overstaff it for the day and are able to deploy additional resources. So that's how we have the 20, but that could change. And I, just so you know, as of Monday, I asked a question about the spacing and more people on the buses. And the county said that they don't plan that a lot will change in our loads and ridership standards from the governor until we reach phase three. They consider phase three when a vaccine has been identified. Because I was thinking, what if it happens in a week or a month or even 2 months? We've got to like bring back a lot of people to work. So, you know, there's a lot of ramp up that has to happen. And the county, as of Monday, told me, unless there's a vaccine, AJ, don't worry, you're not moving to phase three. So that's how we're basing our decisions, Don, is on sometimes daily or weekly.
So the testimony that we heard earlier about other transit agencies carrying at 75%, where we're at 50%, how would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond that they should be at that percentage or and keep adapting based on their local numbers. I believe the numbers, and Mark, I don't have the email pulled up right now, but I believe that at Lane County, so we respond directly to what Lane County, so that means if our numbers change, know that LTD would have a lot less passengers on. So right now, the only thing we can do is do less if the county advises us to do less. But I believe, are we like 1%?
They're referring to, if they refer to like Salem, they're not in any better situation than Lane County.
No, or even Salem. Spokane,
they're in a better situation. So why are these?
Do you know that information, Mark?
We're in better situation than any of those places. And I think it's because of the steps we've taken. And so if you look at Spokane, they've dropped service 10%, and their ridership has dropped over 50. So they're willing to sit out and just run lots of empty buses around. And so, I've just got data yesterday from them, actually, in terms of their ridership and the number of hours of service. And it's, you know, it's dismal. So, you know, if the board says, no, we need to get back and run as many buses as we can, I don't care if they're empty, that's great. That's a decision that Spokane has made. It's very expensive, but, you know, it is a board decision. And so, you know, and every transit agency has made a little bit different decision on how they respond to the COVID. And so, and it varies pretty greatly. The board says, no, we just need to put as much service on the road as possible. Well, okay, then we can gear up for that. But, yeah. And there is a service increase in September, so, you know, which should help that. So
thanks, AJ and Mark and Don, for raising this issue. It's very interesting
very
and definitely
much.
Relates. But I want to bring it, I think I need to bring it back to our main question. And I want to give, you know, this might be a good segue to seeing what SPC had considered and thought about. So Leah, go ahead.
Great, thank you. Yes, SPC looked at kind of that key question where Tom ended his presentation, or started his presentation, I think, which is, is it time to kind of resume work on the Transit Tomorrow project? And we wrestled with that question kind of with the understanding that in moving forward with Transit Tomorrow again, the intent is to adopt a service policy to provide guidance on that, you know, ridership to coverage balance, and provide a framework for staff to continue with the incremental changes, service changes that have been made, you know, in response to COVID. So we didn't get into as kind of in-depth of a conversation as I would have liked to have. So I don't have a simple kind of yes or no answer to that question for you, but SPC members did have a few kind of high-level comments that I wanted to share with you all to kind of inform your conversation. So, of course, this continues to be kind of a fluid situation, and LTD should continue to be nimble and, responsive as they've been so far, as you all have been so far. And overall, SPC still supports the principles of Transit Tomorrow, but it seems that the speed for rolling out those principles still feels very unknown. So in that vein, you know, some folks suggested, you know, reconsidering a phased approach given some of that uncertainty. And SPC still wants to emphasize the importance of bringing the community along with, you know, any changes that are proposed or tested through some thoughtful, you know, education and public involvement. So we really can't let that component fall by the wayside, especially given, you know, the additional challenges that riders and all of, you know, the residents in the district are facing right now. So Tom noted that, you know, we're still figuring out who LTD's riders are going to be in the short term, in the medium term, in the long term. But in the short term, it feels pretty clear to me that LTD should really focus our efforts on the transit dependent and essential workers that we know are using, continuing to use transit. And that really underscores the importance of, you know, leading with a network, a service network that centers equity, and having that kind of principle be our guiding light throughout this process. And so I know that's not as concrete of a recommendation as you'd like to hear today. But from my perspective, I think what I heard from the members is that, you know, the underlying principles of Transit Tomorrow are good, and we continue to believe in them. But COVID has not erased any of our previous concerns about, you know, public buy-in. And by even saying, you know, we're restarting Transit Tomorrow, as we saw in public testimony today earlier in the morning, you know, we run the risk of members of the public thinking that we're just going to go back to that network that was proposed. And I think we all know that that's not necessarily the case, and that's not what I've heard from staff, but I think that highlights the need to really ground ourselves in those principles that we all kind of were on board with prior to the pandemic and continue, you know, making the effort to listen really intentionally. So I'll leave it there. I'm happy to take any questions that you all might have on that recommendation.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us that assessment of what the SPC thought there, Leah. Any questions for Leah? Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Leah, I'm sorry. I think it was my internet connection. You mentioned two groups in particular that you thought that the SPC thought we should focus on, transit dependent and
kind of essential workers, right?
Essential workers, thanks.
Travel. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Other than that, thank you. That is super clear guidance you provided. I know it's not an answer, but it's a framework for us to use. Thank you.
Yeah, any other questions? I'm going to put myself in the queue too, just make sure. Okay. Well, then, you know, Leah, this isn't so much a question for you. You're welcome to stick around for this. This is what I was going to say about the situation. For me to put in context, I really felt when we first had this conversation several months ago that COVID took precedence. We had to focus on that. And it was just a really inappropriate time to engage in transit tomorrow. Now I feel like, I hate using that word, that phrase rather, kick the can down the road. I feel like we did kick the can, we had to, then we can't, the can's gone. I don't know where it is anymore. I don't know if that's the most apt metaphor, but that's what it feels like. The can somewhere, you know, and I feel like this is maybe along the lines of what SPC is saying, is that, hey, the can's still good. We should find it eventually at some point, but maybe now is not the right time. And would you agree with that, Leah? That's maybe pushing the metaphor too hard.
Yeah, I don't know if what I necessarily heard from SPC was a hard no, don't move forward.
Right.
I think it's,
right.
If we do move forward, it has to be intentional. It has to really build in the appropriate, you know, involvement that we continue to call for.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's what I heard too. And so I think, one more thing I want to add, and then I'll see what other people have to say, is that I also fear that COVID has really created not a transit tomorrow, but a transit reality of like just what's going on right now. And so, and that we have to adapt to that and really meet the needs of the community as it stands now. But again, I don't think the work of Transstar was bad, and I wasn't saying at all that we need to throw it away. In fact, I think the can is good, or parts of it at least. We'll find it again later. And so I guess what I'm saying to the board is like, if you're, my opinion is that, hey, now is still not the time. It's probably going to go on a lot longer than we think, COVID that is. And I think we should, there's no can to kick down the road. We just have to keep walking down the same road and adapt to the situation that we're in right now. Other thoughts?
May I add something?
Only, AJ, go ahead.
Carl, you were at that meeting, correct?
Yes.
I do want to say, and definitely, I think, Camille, if you can send the recording to the board members on that discussion, I think it's important for the board to hear that. I almost heard the committee members, they did not vote in consensus, but I almost heard the opposite. And I don't have, we don't, as staff, we don't care if you move forward or we don't. I mean, that's less work for us to worry. We got a lot on our hands. So we're not trying to push anything moving faster because, you know, that's a lot of lift. But I almost felt that I heard comments from ODOT and other members on SPC really saying, if not now, when? And really trying to say LTD should be looking ahead to what comes next. Tom or Mark, were you guys at that meeting? I almost thought I heard them say, and this is not my recommendation, and there is a lot going on, and so I don't want to contradict anything. I just want to make sure that the board is the one that gets the recommendation from those committee members. At staff level, we don't really.
Well, I heard something similar to what AJ is describing, but also, and it's not something I emphasized in the presentation tonight, but as we move forward and we're adding service incrementally as resources allow and as markets evolve, one thing that would help us in doing that, and I think that's part of what we're looking for if the process were to resume, is really consideration of a policy that could help guide us in making these incremental decisions. We may be doing this for quite a long time. And so one thing we could come back with next month is an outline of what that process would look like in terms of really taking another look at our service policy, which really hasn't been updated for many years and certainly doesn't reflect the reality that we're facing today. So that would be, I think, an option I'd ask the board to consider.
And what I thought I heard at the Strategic Planning Committee meeting too was an incremental approach to whatever we do. So if we go into, you know, if Transit Tomorrow is frequent transit networks and you know, high ridership, then, you know, look at it in an incremental way, you know, not just pushing it forward. So, you know, I think the recording or minutes to the board and everybody might be helpful.
That's true, Mark. I do remember someone saying that, or people saying the implementation approach was recommended. Don, anyone else before I go to Don? Okay. Don and then Josh. Okay. Sorry, what about the last thing?
Yeah. Is there a motion for today?
You know, there is a motion that's proposed, but no one has to make it. And if you didn't, I mean, there are many different options. Just answer this question, Don, which the board could decide to go ahead and adopt a resolution to resume in Transit Tomorrow. They could also remain silent, in which case it would just keep going, doing what we're doing. Or we could be really explicit and say, we're not revisit, kind of like what we did last time. We specifically said, we're going to deal with this in I don't remember what we said exactly, August or something, I guess, which is now. We said we're going to deal with it later. And so we could do that again too. So there are many options to answer that question. Any quick response before I go to Josh?
No, let Josh speak first.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Doc. Go ahead, Josh.
Great, thank you, Carl. And thank you everyone, AJ, Mark, Don, Carl, for the discussion here. I think this is really, this is incredibly important. And I have a couple of clarifying questions for Tom and then some observations, I think, still, depending on what Tom says. So, Tom, if you can go back a couple of, well, I don't know if you can reshare your screen and go back a couple of slides, but people who have the presentation, I guess one thing I want to do, because we heard these percentages, but there's one, two slides back from that. There's one number that's missing, here, and that is what we budgeted for. So I guess these numbers are all pretty abstract for a lot of us. We don't think in terms of service hours all the time. So what I would encourage people to do is to say, this is either like how much service we provide in a year, or in the case of that very last line, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of an instantaneous measure of how much service we're providing right now. Like it's sort of the rate of service that we're providing. That's and so correct. Right now, yeah, okay, thank you. So right now we're not just way below what we were providing or what we projected, but if I recall, we're quite a bit below what we budgeted for this fiscal year. I feel like the number was around 270,000, but nothing's sticking in my head exactly. What
252.
252,000. Sorry. Okay. 252. So I think it's important for us to sort of use this number as part of a common language, where we realize that we budgeted for a lot less, but we're also providing way less than what we budgeted for. So we have room in our budget. I mean, we talked in our work session earlier today about having to revisit the budget and think about it, but we are not spending at the rate that we had budgeted for. I think that's important to say. So a couple of observations. I think what we're hearing here is that it's almost impossible to have a conversation about whether we restart transit tomorrow without talking about the level of service we're offering now and the rationale for it. And that's why I think maybe it's fine to leave that on the shelf, but then we should direct our attention to saying, what sort of service should we be providing right now? And what are the criteria for that? I am really concerned about just running empty buses, as Mark put it. But actually, if we think about what we have budgeted for, and we think about the overages we are seeing, and we think about the public health first approach, actually, we probably should be running quite a few more buses, and they should be kind of empty, right? I mean, that's actually what we want to do. We would never say that in normal circumstances, but I guess what I want to put out there is that we really need to understand, we need to give people a chance to take the bus. But I mean, Tom, if you want to go ahead, I think it's one more slide when you have the summary. It's either one or two more slides. The summary, there we go. Sorry, that one. That was that middle one. So we're running hourly service. If you think about the principles of Transit Tomorrow, and Leah was just kind of reinforcing this, like hourly service is actually not that helpful to essential workers. Right? Hourly service we know is less useful. One of the main points of rationale behind Transit Tomorrow was because we want this to be more important in the labor market. We want it to be more useful to people. And so actually, I think the public health and the essential workers side of this would tell us to increase service a lot and to find places where we can go to half hourly service. So that was the first point I wanted to make on the service specifics. The final thing I'll say right now is, I want us to figure out how not to like be scrapping Transit Tomorrow, but how to shift to getting people's input on our service model now. Like I don't want us to say, oh, we're going to shelve Transit Tomorrow and then we lose our sense of reaching out to the public and engaging people. I think actually we need to do exactly that, but we shouldn't pretend that we're in that previous world. So let me leave it at that for now, but that's where I think I stand.
Thanks, Josh. Next, we have Emily, and then Caitlin following.
I'll let Caitlin go first.
Go for this it, Caitlin.
This is just a quick reply to Josh, and I guess hopefully leaning helpful to the rest of the conversation, as I still feel like people are in information fatigue mode, and that's just, I guess, why I would want to put things off and maybe not do a motion today. But if we had to, I think there's just still way too much information being pumped in people's faces and so much uncertainty that I would feel really comfortable putting the conversation off for a little while longer just because of the pure info fatigue everyone is suffering from. And that's why I understand Josh saying like, we still need to get that information out there, but is it going to be heard? Is it going to be too much? Is it going to be lost? I just feel comfortable waiting.
Thanks, Caitlin. Emily, go ahead.
I'm so glad I deferred because I actually feel a little bit of Josh's thoughts and a little bit of Caitlin's as well. And so I wonder if maybe I can help bridge this gap a little bit. So you guys, you know, don't take this as gospel, but perhaps we reopen the conversation about transit tomorrow so that there is some staff efforts pushing that can in a more productive way without necessarily saying we're committing to, you know, rolling out a specific solution at this time. I really think we need to have more frequency so that we are a better choice or a choice for folks who we aren't currently a choice for because of our frequency being so low. So I'd like to see us pick up a little bit more on the frequency side, get some more buses out there, be a little bit more useful to our community and our essential workers with the thought of moving towards some sort of iteration of the Transit Tomorrow conversation with the clarity that, of course, it's not going to look the same as what we were talking about previously. Is that a motion that we can get behind? Is that close? Is that, you know, not close at all? What do we think?
Yeah, and Tom, maybe you could help by sharing the increase in service hours for fall, just so they have some understanding of what we're planning on doing in fall.
Sure. Let me just get to the... So you can see right now, currently we're operating, let's just call it 160,000 hours. For the fall bid, we're talking about moving that up to closer to 200,000 hours. So that is an increase.
And that's just, primarily in frequency, right?
That's correct. We're adding the a level of service to the university routes that aren't operating, like the 79X and 81 and things like that. And we'd extend the frequency on the MX, the span of the MX frequency.
I just want to note that we're at near 7:30, which doesn't mean that we can't keep going. I just want to note that, you know, we are getting near the end of our meeting time. And just to clear the speakers list or the Josh and Don, were you wanting to go next? Is that the hands? Okay. I don't know who was first. So I'm going to go Don and then Josh, and then I'm going to throw myself in there. So Don, go ahead.
Well, I'll go first because I don't speak as long as Josh does. I wanted to kind of piggyback on what Emily just said, expand upon it a bit. I mean, we're talking about getting out of a phase of being paused. And nothing moves very quickly in this organization. It takes forever to do anything. So I'm just saying, let's get the ball moving again. Let's get behind it and say, all right, if we spent all these years getting to this point, now, we're going to say that, oh, no, this is unacceptable. Let's stop. I'm not there. I feel like we put a lot of investment in it. There's a lot of thought involved in it. There's a lot of community participation. And we should continue that effort. And nothing is going to change in the next couple of months anyhow. And we'll have more information. We'll have more information in January. And still things won't be much different. So I think... You know, of course, we'll have new stuff that'll come in too that we'll need to adjust to.
Did we lose Don?
We kicked the can down the road, but here it is again. So I just think it's time to address this thing and grapple with it and adjust it. Not, you know, we won't make a decision now, we'll make a decision to continue thinking about it now. So that's basically where I am. And my battery went away, so I don't know if I'm here.
Don, you kind of faded out there. I think we heard what you had to say though. I'm gonna go ahead and move on to Josh.
Great, thank you. I actually agree with everything Caitlin said and everything Don and Emily said. I think what I'm trying to say is that let's not pretend we're just picking up transit tomorrow. We have completely different circumstances from what we had when we started that project. And even for that matter, when we, you know, last were barreling ahead with it in February and March. Let me give one very specific suggestion that maybe needs to be appended to our motion in a moment. The thing we are not seeing right now at the board level is the view we did a really good job of. I think actually it was sort of a combination of staff and Jarrett Walker and Associates did a really good job of at transittomorrow.org of saying, what service are we providing in terms of jobs, all residents, people of color, people experiencing poverty, seniors? And we have all of those different filters. So we understood with the current network and then a future proposed network, what are we achieving? I would like to say that we need that view right now with our constrained resources to understand at the board level, like, what are we doing? I know we've said at times, oh, we kind of stripped back to a ridership focused network, but it's not really ridership because it's not frequency because we're doing our service in most places. So I think we need to understand like just the fundamental trade-offs at the board level. And we're not getting that now. So if I would be fine moving ahead with the motion, if we want to adapt it to have sort of the incremental nature that Emily and Don added. But then I think we should also say we need to be informing current policy. We need to be informing current board direction as well, just so we're not, you know, just doing a future planning exercise.
Thank you, Josh. Putting myself in the queue, Tom, could you advance a slide like one or two? I think it must have been one of your last slides. There we go. This one right here. I've tell you the last part, the bottom part of this slide is what informs me the most. And I fear I may have a minority or unpopular position on this, which is that I feel like when you look at the situation that we are in right now, where we have resources that are different, the needs that are different right now, it's really hard for me to support continuing moving forward with Transitor, as least as how we envisioned it earlier, pre-COVID. So the two things I would support would be either doing nothing, which would just kind of, you know, put us back in the same situation where we just kind of keep seeing how things go as they go, and then we can make a decision later, or we say, we can, if people want some more certainty, we revisit this back at X, like 3 months from now, kind of like what we did 3 or 4 months ago. That's the position I would take. And I just throw that out there. I'll let someone make a motion to the effect that they want to, so that we see where we end up. But that's where I'm at. Emily, go ahead.
Actually, Carl, Carl, can I just a clarifying question? Are you saying don't do any work on it or do selected work on it? Just say exactly what you had in mind.
Oh, well, basically what I'm saying is we don't advance it any further right now. I don't think we cannot do any work on it because we have a current situation that we have to try to resolve. And we, as we look over the budget and our actual resources, there may be choices that we have to make, not necessarily without the context of Transit Tomorrow informing us in terms of benefits, trade-offs, et cetera. But I think in the vein of how Transit Tomorrow was put forth many months ago, that's what I'm saying is that I don't see how we can keep going in that direction at this time. So if that helps clear it up, Emily, go ahead.
Okay, so with those three bullet points in mind, we can't go forward, we can't go back, we can't stay paused. So I think our conversation earlier was, let's have a conversation about our budget. Let's have a real candid conversation about what the community needs are right now. And I think maybe the motion ought to be something like, with the service model in mind and the budget in mind, how do we bring our current level to a place where it's a little bit more feasible for our community to use in a way that can be sort of scaled up as resources and health situations permit. Is that closer?
I feel like you're suggesting that you have the staff look into transit today. Is that what you're saying?
I think you should coin that phrase now.
Oh, okay. Copyright Carly A. 2020.
It's something that addresses today, but also could be ramped up in a really efficient manner based on our budget and our needs.
I mean, maybe you should throw it out as a motion if you're ready. Oh, sorry, was there someone else talking?
Just for context in that, is, go ahead, Mark. Today is a few months down the road for the board for changes. So that's the only thing you have to understand is that, today is today, and we've got a service plan for September 27th, which is new bid, which is adding almost 50,000 hours of annual service. And so the next chance to change that is February. Well, we can do it in that, but we're talking about a few months to be able to change, in what we're doing. So transit today isn't really today, it's transit near tomorrow. So nearer tomorrow than transit tomorrow.
Well, if I can just build quickly on what Mark was saying, one of the things we emphasize or tried to emphasize is actually the last bullet on that slide, which is that we are in a position where we're going to have to make decisions about how we add service in an incremental fashion, and that could be going on for, at least the next 12 months, if not longer. And so in that context, that's what I meant when I said earlier that would help us at the staff level is actually to have the board consider policy that could help us make decisions in this incremental period. And that we actually have a draft service policy that had been prepared for consideration back at the beginning of this year. And so, again, that's something I'd look for possibly. Again, we could come back and say more about that. I know time is running short, but that policy guidance would help us in this incremental period tremendously.
Just to take it back really quickly, I think I appreciate what Mark said, and I think that's probably more accurate to say transit near tomorrow. I was just trying to be fancy with my little phrase, but I think essentially we're about the same. I think where we're at right now is that we do have to make some kind of decision, and so I wanted to see if there was a motion out there. Josh, is that you putting out a motion?
Last little piece of very explicit fodder to include in a motion. I don't think I'm quite ready to make a motion. It'd be helpful if someone else is ready with that. I guess, Mark, what you just said is really, really helpful. I mean, I think it's good to remind people we're increasing from about 160,000 hours to, I think Tom said, about 200,000 service hours. So we are talking about an increase. But I guess then what we need to put in motion now as a board is a request to staff to come back with clear options for us for the next one, right? Like essentially we didn't make any choices here at the board level about this fork in the road. I mean, we have provided guidance and staff are totally competent to take that and turn it into something. But I think in order to have a clearer conversation with the community and a clearer conversation amongst ourselves, we need to have, for the next one coming in February or January, whatever it is, we got to have a little bit of a framework and a couple of options. So that to me, I think is really, really important for us to be doing our work at the board level.
So Josh, I think you might have hit on something that we might be, I'm just going to guess, we might all agree on in terms of consensus that we're not going to make any motion or vote on anything right now, but we are providing direction to the staff to come back with something that better resolves what we were trying to talk through right now. Is that more or less correct?
With some clarity about the trade-offs, at the level of transit tomorrow.
And I saw a new hand go up. Stephen, did you want to say something, Stephen?
No, there's already too much being said.
Okay, got it. Do we have consensus just to see? And I not to worry, Bourne, I do have a plan on how to get us through the next several minutes. Okay, AJ, did you feel like you got enough from us to be able to move forward?
It is not a consensus.
I have no idea what, I don't have any idea what don't move forward with transit tomorrow will bring us something like transit tomorrow. I think I almost need a motion, even
I'll try to do something.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, and I'm hearing Caitlin doesn't have consensus. I don't feel like they know how to direct staff.
I typically like to let the other board members make the motions rather than me, since I have the presidency. But I would like to move to direct the general manager to bring back options for creating a transit plan based on current resources. I think I'll leave it at that. Is that sufficient? AJ, I can amend it really quickly if that's not clear enough still.
Say that one step at a time.
Basically, we're asking you to direct staff to bring us transit plans and options based on our current resources for the short-term future.
I can bring that back. That sounds good to me.
Josh, if you want
to. But they have to vote on it.
Josh, if you have something to add, because I know I'm lacking some more clarity or detail on that one.
With the amendment that there be at least two distinct options for the next service offering / bid, and where possible, to use the same criteria that we used in Transit Tomorrow for understanding how we provide service.
So, okay, that's really difficult, Josh, to say, okay, we're going to have two distinct service models, right? That's very difficult on staff to provide for you. So that's what we're trying to say is, if the long-term strategy of this board is to say, we want to head towards a ridership model, will you bring us in an incremental approach the next bid in February, the first step in that, and take a look at that. And then we can take input for that and we can make changes as accordingly. And then maybe in June, we say we can see if we can get a little further and see what that looks like. But to say just bring two separate service models, that's really difficult because there's a lot of effort by staff that goes into designing, service models. So anyway, just something to consider.
And just to jump in, I have to agree with Mark. I would really worry about asking staff to bring two models, also because I think that just complicates the matter way a lot more. I find that most groups are better if we start with I trust staff to bring together a good plan, and then we can look at it and decide where we would like to make adjustments if we feel it does not meet our needs or what we think the community needs. Josh, and I want to make sure I'm not missing other people. I guess I got Stephen and Don, and we need to wrap things up. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Don, and then Stephen. Stephen, go ahead.
I would make a motion that we proceed with the beginning the process of the work that we had paused several months ago. I realize, and just what Mark said, that things are going to be dealt incrementally, but we got to give the staff some direction rather than just say, we don't know. I mean, we're not the ones who have to design all this stuff. We don't have to do that. We have to give the staff direction.
And sorry,
do that. We don't have to develop the budget. We don't have to know that stuff.
I'm going to put your proposal on hold for a second because I have a motion on the floor right now. It hasn't received a second yet, but it's still in the process. Stephen, go ahead, and then we'll try to wrap this up.
Thanks, Carl. I think this is crazy making for staff and also for the board. We don't know how many service hours we're talking about because we don't have any clarity on the budget. So I'm at a loss as to why we're asking staff to go forward when, are we talking about 250,000 service hours, 200,000, what can we afford? And then there are other key things, like we heard loud and clear that, drivers do not feel heard or protected, security issues. How does that get factored into a budget? So I think right now we're asking staff to do an impossible job.
Thanks, Stephen. I think Josh, go ahead.
So just for clarity, we're at about 160,000 service hours now. As Mark said, the fall service would be about 200,000 service hours, and we have budgeted for about 250,000 service hours for this fiscal year that we're in. We are way, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but we are way under budget in the sense that we are not spending money on service at anything like the rate that we budgeted for. And remember, we, you know, board members, we budgeted very, very conservatively. So I think there's a little bit of tension there, right? Like we budgeted very conservatively, we're still not spending that money. So I just want to keep that in mind. Stephen, I just wanted to answer those questions so we're not hanging in the air.
Josh, I'm sorry, Josh. Our budget is eviscerated. It's gone. Anything that's pre-COVID-19 is in desperate need of a rethink, starting with Transit Tomorrow, and our budget, and our service hours, and how we make sure that we are protecting the drivers and adding security. Everything needs to be rethought. And so the fact that we are underspending on a budget that we created months ago, to me, I'm sorry, is irrelevant.
I'm happy to withdraw my motion. I'm trying to just bring together some of the ideas that are here and give AJ some direction. But let me just see. So if there's no second on my motion, then we can move on to Don. Don may potentially make a motion. And I'm okay. And again, I'm not asking for a second. If that doesn't quite coalesce our ideas and you actually feel, because I think I said earlier, I'm okay with doing nothing on this, at this time because of our current situation. So I'll leave that out on the floor.
Carl, really quick, I am going to support what Stephen just said. And if Don does not make the motion, can we figure out how to move past this topic?
Yes, that's exactly where I'm headed. So I think that the options are, if this one doesn't get a second, then we'll see if Don makes a motion, because like I said, you know, it is okay for us to do nothing at this time. So hearing no second on my motion, we'll move on. Oh, sorry, was there someone? Okay, Don, or is there anyone else who wants to say anything else?
Yeah, really quickly. That's my point about waiting until we have more budget information so that we can make better decisions about how to or if to bring back Transit Tomorrow. So I guess my thought is let's table this until we have the budget conversation with realistic numbers, so that we're actually making, you know, good, thoughtful decisions and not just trying to pick this conversation back up as if nothing had happened.
Got it. Okay, so anybody else? Don, did you have anything to say? I see your hand up.
I'm sorry, I'm having to split between one thing and another.
Sorry, I couldn't.
No, my battery went dead.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything to say before we move on?
No.
Okay, great. So it sounds like we've effectively tabled it, and we don't need to make a motion to support that. So I appreciate everyone's good thoughts on it, and I hope everyone saw how much thought we put into it to try to make the best decision possible. So here's my plan for the rest of the, if someone has their, please mute your mics. I'm getting a lot of feedback from somewhere. So with the rest of the agenda, so with the fiscal year audit plan, I had heard earlier from some board members that they were okay without receiving that information. I just want to make sure there's consensus all around, and then we can, Christina can stand down. Consensus? Okay.
Stand down.
Okay, standing down. Christina, if you heard that, you can stand down. Next, on the solar panels, there was talk of reinstating the sustainability committee, so we don't have to actually go into it now. So then that would mean we would have them take care of it, and we can make those arrangements outside of this meeting, making sure there's consensus on that. Saw mostly head nods, but I didn't want to leave anyone out. Okay, there we go. I think I saw enough. And then
Carl, I also just want to say, if anyone wants to join us on the sustainability committee, it's just me and Don now. So, yeah.
Okay. Two lonely people who need more presence. So we have, right there. So then with the general manager performance review, that I can put in a memo. I had wanted us to go around and make commitments. We can do that by email. It'll still be publicly available. And so we'll, if everyone's okay with me doing that, I will lay out a calendar, like a timeline. So everything will be in the memo, basically. Good. Everyone good with that? So we are moving ahead with that. So in case everyone was like, hey, what's happening with the general manager review? We are moving ahead. I will send that memo, probably not tonight. It'll be tomorrow. Great. Okay. I am assuming there are no questions about the written reports. Okay, and then so now for the good of order, just to make sure I didn't want to cut anyone off, anything else that people think that needs to be said before I adjourn? Well then, thank you very much to all the board members and staff and members of the public who did stick around for this entire meeting. I really appreciate the thoughtfulness of everyone and all the wonderful public testimony that we heard today. It clearly made an impact, and I think it will inform us as we move forward. So have a good night, everyone. This meeting is adjourned. Please stay safe and healthy. Bye.